Good morning. My name is Casey, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Mexican Ministry of Finance's conference call to present the economic program for 2007. With us today are Alejandro Werner, Undersecretary of Finance and Public Credit, and Gerardo Rodriguez, the Head of Public Credit Unit. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you, Mr. Werner. You may begin your conference.
Thank you very much. Welcome to this conference call on the economic program for 2007. On December 5th, we sent the income law and the budget decree to Congress to discuss. Hello? Okay, to be discussed during the month of December and to be approved before the 31st of December. Okay, Let me remind our friends from the press that this is an off-the-record conference call, which has been the case in our previous conference calls. Mm-hmm. Hello? Okay. Given the recent evolution of several macroeconomic indicators, we're expecting to close 2006 with a GDP growth of 4.7%. With respect to employment, we are observing up to October an annual rate of growth of around 6.8%. This is the highest growth that we have observed in the last 10 years. We are projecting that by the end of 2006, the public sector fiscal surplus will be around 0.3% of GDP, and this is associated with the oil and non-oil windfall that we have been having in terms of income throughout 2006. Budgetary revenues for the year are estimated at around 280 billion pesos above what we expected for the year in the income law that was approved last year, and this is due to oil-related revenues that have exceeded what we had projected at the beginning of the year due to higher oil prices mainly, and also non-oil related revenues that were higher than what was expected at the beginning of the year, especially by a very dynamic tax revenues in the income tax and the VAT. We are expecting to distribute this oil and non-oil windfall basically to Pemex. Around 36% of total excess revenues will be going to Pemex. To the states, we will be sending around 20% for investment at the states, and then we will be sending around 10% of this windfall to the Oil Stabilization Fund and another 10% to improve the fiscal result. The remaining is money that will be used either to cover a higher non-programmable expenditure or money that has been generated by different entities such as CFE, that's the electricity company, and it will be used by them. Regarding the public sector borrowing requirements, we're expecting them to close with a deficit of around 0.8% of GDP. What are the economic perspectives and what we sent in the income law and the budget decree for 2007? Basically, we're expecting is a deceleration of economic activity to around 3.6% of GDP. This is due to, obviously, a lower GDP and industrial production growth in the U.S., but also to a slowdown in the rate of growth of industrial production in Mexico associated with the reduction in the growth rate of the automobile sector in Mexico. We are not expecting a drop in production in the automobile sector. However, after having grown at rates higher than 30% in the first two quarters of this year, the automobile sector is kind of achieving a new plateau, and we are expecting to remain at this level throughout 2007. The economic package for 2007 will be the first to be processed under the new Federal Budget and Fiscal Responsibility Law. Some of the elements of this law that are worth pointing out are the following. The explicit requirement that net expenditures must contribute towards the fiscal balance, basically to have a balanced budget unless exceptional circumstances occur. A formula for the price of oil that basically uses the previous 10 years' history with a weight of 25%. The medium-term expected prices measured by futures prices with a weight of 25% as well, and the next year expected price also from futures markets with a weight of 50%. In addition, the law sets explicit rules for the use of oil and non-oil windfall and the allocation of this windfall to different stabilization funds for the federal government, for Pemex, and for the federal entities. The proposed program for 2007 represents an important recomposition of public expenditure that emphasizes spending in infrastructure, public safety, social spending, and economic development. The most important elements of the Federation's revenue law initiative for 2007 are the following. Total revenues are projected to increase by almost 10% with respect to the income law that was approved in 2006. Oil and non-oil related revenues are higher than the ones assumed for 2006 by 4.2% and almost 13% in real terms. The reference price for the price of oil is $42.5 per barrel for the Mexican mix. We are expecting the oil production platform to drop by almost 3% with respect to 2006, and we are expecting the oil export platform to drop by 10% to what was observed in 2006. The estimation of tax revenues for 2007 considers additional resources of 13 billion pesos due to efficiency gains in the income tax and the VAT. Also, our projection is including some tax measures that were incorporated in this package. Basically, we are reducing some authorized deductions to the income tax and the tax on assets. Basically, the tax on assets, it's a minimum income tax that firms have to pay in Mexico, and this tax has been eroded in the last few years by an increasing number of deductions that have been included in the different discussions of the budget in the past, and what we're proposing this time around is to get rid of all these deductions and go back to the gross base of the tax, and we're also proposing to reduce the tax rate from 1.8% to 1.5%. We are also diminishing the special treatments in the income tax in agriculture. We are aligning excise taxes with international laws and treaties that Mexico has signed. This is basically with respect to soft drinks. We had a tax on soft drinks from which soft drinks that were produced with sugar were exempt from the tax. This was deemed discriminatory by the WTO. So basically we are proposing to have a general tax on soft drinks at a rate of 5%. This is the way it was several years ago. The only difference was that several years ago the tax rate was 20%. We are proposing a broad base with a lower rate. We are also reducing special treatments on water fees for mining and paper industries that had a special exemption. And we are creating a new contribution that intends to reduce incentives for the consumption of tobacco. We are proposing an additional tax for cigarettes and cigars of 15 cents per 1 gram of tobacco that is included in whatever of these products. And this will raise around 6 billion pesos. The total of these measures contributes to around 20 billion pesos to total income. The most relevant features of public spending for 2007 are the following. Obviously, given that we're having a balanced budget, total expenditure is also growing at almost 10% in real terms. We are including several austerity measures, as you have already heard, associated with the austerity decree that President Calderón just signed. The increase in programmable expenditure is basically being assigned to a very important extent to increases in the budget of Pemex, CFE, the Social Security Institute, of private sector employees and public sector employees. So almost 100 billion pesos is being assigned to increase the budget of these public sector companies and Social Security Institutes that had been artificially lowered in the previous budgets. So what we are doing basically is supporting the budgets of this institution, and then the rest is basically being assigned to some new programs presented by President Calderon and to confront several expenditure pressures that we have been facing in the last few years, such as pension, PDRegas amortizations, etc. The following aspects regarding public debt policy are worth highlighting. The financing needs for 2007 for the federal government are 2.4% of GDP. Domestic debt management will focus on reducing the vulnerability to adverse movements in interest rates and encouragement of favorable evolution of financial domestic markets and strengthening the long-term bonus yield curve. It is expected that the net external debt for the public sector will be equal to almost 6% of GDP at the end of 2007, which is a minimum in the recent financial history of Mexico. The duration of domestic debt is expected to reach 4 years at the end of 2007, increasing by almost half a year with respect to the figure that is expected to close 2006. The public sector borrowing requirements are programmed for 2007 and 1.6% of GDP. This is slightly lower than what was approved for 2006, and this is going to be translated also into a reduction of the broad debt measure in Mexico as a percentage of GDP by the end of 2007. At the end of our policy guidelines that were presented also on December 5th, we presented a medium-term fiscal policy outlook. Basically, what we presented there is that if we don't have significant changes in our tax structure in the next 6 years, the inertial projections due to the declining trend of oil revenues as a percentage of GDP and the increasing trends of several expenditure components such as PDRegas, such as pensions, is going to drive the public sector result from a balanced budget to a deficit of around 3% of GDP. This is basically highlighting the vulnerability that we're facing in the next few years due to expected drops in income, but also due to important increasing trends in public sector expenditure. That's to start generating the consensus so that starting in January of next year, we start an intensive process of discussions with Congress members, basically to establish the foundation of a much broader fiscal reform that will put public finances on a strengthening track throughout the next 6 years. Thank you very much, and now we will open the floor to questions. Thank you.
At this time, I would like to remind everyone, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. Once again, that is star 1 for any questions or comments. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. Your first question comes from Adolfo Albo with BBVA.
Good morning. Alejandro, thanks for hosting this conference, and I have 3 questions. First, if you could tell us something about the guidelines on public prices for the next fiscal year. And second would be, when is the next debt payment going to take place? Is it going to be on the first semester, or would we be expecting it to take place in the second part of the year? And finally, if you could tell something on when and how is the new proposal for a fiscal reform going to take place? And here we are being more specific. Perhaps the question would be, what's the approach the ministry would follow to negotiate this reform with the Congress this time, or put it differently, what's going to change this time compared to the previous proposals? Thank you very much.
Okay, let me take two of these questions, and then Gerardo will address the other one. With regard to public sector prices, we are assuming that public sector prices continue with a similar policy to the one that we have been having up to this time. Basically, gasoline prices will be increasing at a rate similar to the rate of inflation. Electricity prices will be increasing for subsidized rates also with the rate of inflation, and the very small component that is not subsidized is basically adjusted by the changes in the cost of electricity generation. So, and with respect to natural gas, also the same policies will be applied, so there won't be any changes starting January with respect to public sector prices. We just had an adjustment regarding the price of gasoline, basically associated to the fact that premium gasoline and diesel were subject to a new, let's say, ecological norm that increases the quality of these two gasolines and diesel, and therefore the cost of importing these products increase, and basically we increase the domestic price accordingly. But taking away this adjustment, there's nothing in the pipeline to change the way we have been managing public sector prices up to this time. With regards to the fiscal reform proposal, basically we won't get into this discussion with any preconceived ideas with respect to what are the main elements of the proposal and also with respect to the timing of the proposal. We will try to reach a consensus with Congress in several measures that will help to strengthen public finances in the medium term and generate the minimum economic distortions possible. We will try to achieve the two objectives as closer as we can. Basically, we will be negotiating this fiscal reform with a very open mind, but with a very clear concept in our mind of what are the things that should be completely off the table, such as very distortionary taxes. But moving away from that, what we would like to do is to have a very comprehensive reform that includes taxes, that includes expenditures, and that includes the relationship on both of these items between the Federation and the state governments. So basically, we are expecting to have a very broad reform being discussed starting at the beginning of 2007. And when we have reached an agreement with Congress, basically we will be processing this through Congress and hopefully having an approval of this reform. The timing of this should be next year due to the importance of strengthening public finances, generating extra revenues, and also due to the political calendar. I think it's very important to get out of this discussion early on in the administration and before the political calendar gets heavier with respect to elections further into the future. Regarding debt policy,
on debt management, I would just mention that based on the economic package that was sent to Congress earlier in the week, we are in the process of publishing what's going to be our formal borrowing plan for next year. That will happen within the next couple of days. In anticipation of that, I would just mention that on external debt management, the amortization schedule that we will face for next year is very light. We have only over $1 billion of amortizations of market external debt and some $500 million additional amortizations with regards to multilateral debt, that is IDB and World Bank debt. As it has been the case in the past, any transaction that leads to an improvement in the conditions of external debt, that is something that we always look at. Going forward, our presence in the international markets, given the scale of our amortizations, we don't expect that to be in terms of raising cash and more on the liability management side. We don't have any specific dates or specific transactions on the table. However, we plan to maintain a presence in the international capital markets through similar operations than the ones that we have done in the past, especially on the liability management side. Thank you.
Your next question comes from Gray Newman with Morgan Stanley.
Yes, good morning, and thank you very much, Alejandro and Geraldo. One question on the budget. Some people are calling the 2007 proposed budget an austere one, and we've seen yesterday members from the CNSA and others have begun to complain about reductions in spending for agriculture and other areas. And yet, when I look at this budget, while it's off from the level of spending in 2006, which has been realized, 2006 was a high point in terms of spending. Do you view it? How do you view the budget for 2007? I mean, is this really an austere budget, or is it still a budget with I guess a set of spending pressures which are excessive given Mexico's sort of long-term funding sources? Thanks.
I mean, basically, we see this budget as a realistic budget. We are presenting a very centered projection for income, and what we are trying to do, and maybe that's what is causing the difference of opinion that you have implied in your question between what you think this budget represents and what maybe some sectors of Mexican society have been saying, is basically that an important part of the increase in expenditure that is associated with this 10% increase in income that I mentioned with respect to the budget that we had last year is basically that a very large chunk of these resources is being associated to strengthen the budget of public sector enterprises and Social Security Institute and not being directed to increase the budget of several programs such as agricultural support programs or other types of expenditures such as roads in the country that are two of the main elements that are traditionally heavily discussed in Congress. So when you look at, let's say, just a fraction of the budget, there you see drops in expenditure or slight drops in agriculture and a larger drops in the roads budget. And I think that's where these comments are coming from. When you see the general budget, as you were implying, basically you see an important increase in expenditure, but that is very concentrated in specific items and also part of that in specific programs, and as I said before, the rest in trying to accommodate expenditure pressures that have been eating into our budget in the last few years. Thank you.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from Luis Arcentales with Morgan Stanley.
Yes, I have a quick question. This year you presented a balanced budget consistent with the Ley de Presupuesto y Responsabilidad Hacendaria. But my question is, what is the latitude for Congress to work around this and propose a deficit, even if it's not under these special circumstances that are under the law? And secondly, again, what is the ability of Congress, you think, to introduce additional items like the 26.6 billion pesos to the IMSS that we saw in the 2006 budget and became a problem with the cuts in the PAFEF recently?
Okay, regarding the first question, I mean, basically the law says that we have to budget that we have to present a balanced budget and that Congress has to approve a balanced budget. So to the extent that I think all political actors in Mexico want to comply with the law, I think we are not seeing the possibility of having these main parameters having been set by the law being modified in the discussion in Congress. This law was approved last year and was basically approved by almost all of the political parties in the lower chamber. So I think that that will significantly smooth the discussion of the budget and the income law this time around, because two of the main items that were discussed in the past were the determination of the fiscal result, either if we had a small deficit or a surplus or a balanced budget, and the price of oil. And these two things are, let's say, out of the table this time around, and have a very small margin of deviation. The second question, what is the probability of having some mishap happening in Congress at 2 a.m. in the morning on the 31st of December? I mean, obviously that's always a possibility. I think the executive and Congress know that the cost of what happened last year was a very high one. So I think on both parts there will be a significant effort to avoid these kind of situations being repeated in the discussion and the eventual approval of the 2007 budget. We have seen the Finance Commission and the Budget Commission being very receptive of what we have been doing. We have been having extensive discussions with them, and also we have very clear in our minds the problems that were created by that very disorganized discussion and eventual inclusion of this item in last year's budget. So I think the conscience that this problem has generated will help us to transit through this discussion in a much organized way. In addition, I think the Budget Commission will be, I mean, sending, and it's obliged by the Fiscal Responsibility Law to set up guidelines to interact with other commissions in Congress during the negotiation of the budget. And that will also discipline the relationship between the Budget Commissions and, for example, the Social Security Commission to include whatever demands are being put on the table by the different commissions in Congress, and I think that will be an important improvement with regards to the process that we had in the previous years. Thanks.
Can I follow up just quickly regarding the change of the 20% tax on beverages with fructose into this broader 5% tax? To what extent has this been discussed with Congress, and do you have a sense of the level of support for this? For this measure?
I think there will be some concerns. You could think that this could all obviously generate some problems with sugar producers. However, the problem with sugar producers is associated to the ruling of the WTO, not to this tax. I mean, the ruling by the WTO obliges us to set a generalized tax, and independently of what the tax rate could be, this will take away the advantage that they had in the past vis-a-vis other sweeteners, and that's, I think, the problem that you can think of. On top of that, a 5% tax on soft drinks, I think, is something that historically you can think it's relatively low from what we had in the past, and it's not extremely onerous. So we will have to see how the discussion turns out regarding this issue in Congress, but I think it's not intransitable through Congress, and I think it's, one of the measures that complement this small package of additional measures that help us to introduce or to present a more reasonable budget to Congress than those budgets that we have presented Congress with in the past. And I am referring basically when you look at the whole, let's say the whole package for agriculture, there's a significant support package on the expenditure side that is relatively, I think, acceptable by several agricultural groups. And in that respect, when you look at the complete, instruments that are addressing problems in the agricultural sector, it will be relatively well accepted, obviously subject to small changes in these next few weeks. But I don't think it's something that will be completely intransitable through Congress.
Thanks a lot.
Your next question comes from Benito Berber with HSBC.
Hi, good morning. Thank you very much, Alejandro and Gerardo. Two quick questions. First, with respect to the pension problems, particularly for the workers of the IMSS and for the bureaucrats in the ISSSTE, what are your thoughts? Are you proposing a reform to those pension problems? And also, quickly, have you been in contact with the Mexico City finance secretary? Are there any plans from the Mexico City to increase their debt? Thank you so much.
I mean, I'll take the first question regarding pensions. Basically, there's an initiative already in Congress, in the Senate, I think, that was proposed by a senator, from a PRI senator, that was being discussed before the end of the last legislature. And I think that's an initiative through which we can, I mean, an initiative that we can work on. So eventually, I mean, hopefully starting next year, we will see if Congress takes that initiative and starts discussing it, and I think that will be a very important structural reform that will strengthen public finances, will have important positive effects on the labor market by increasing labor mobility, and continue helping in deepening our financial markets. With respect to Mexico City's debt, I think Gerardo can answer that.
Yes, we do have a very fluent institutional dialogue with Mexico City officials in preparation for the budget. For this year, as you can see in Article 3 of the revenue law, the Mexico City is asking for a net increase in their debt of 1.4 billion pesos. In that Article 3, there are some guidelines, traditional guidelines that are incorporated every year, that basically establish some elements that have to be around the infrastructure projects in which these 1.4 billion should be used. Thank you.
Your next question comes from Juan Trevino with HSBC.
Good morning. Just two brief questions quickly. Could you please give a little bit more detail in the non-oil part of the expected increase in the current account deficit? One and the other, if we can go a little bit again over the expected increase in the financial requirements for the public sector. Thank you very much.
I mean, basically, I mean, the current account deficit basically is increasing by the drop in oil production and the drop in the price of oil from $53 per barrel to $42 per barrel. So, and the rest is basically being explained by the difference between the drop in exports associated to the deceleration of the U.S. of the U.S. economy, and a dynamic domestic demand that is going to slow down at a lower rate than our external sector. If you want to get some kind of a breakdown of how this increase in the deficit is associated to these two factors, I would say that basically around two-thirds of the increase in the deficit is associated with oil, and then one-third to the rest. The other one that you were mentioning, I think, was associated with the public sector borrowing requirements. Those, I mean, are remaining at the same, basically the same level as the percentage of GDP than we have been proposing in the past. There's a slight change in the in its constitution, in the sense that basically development banks, financial intermediation, and PDREGA's projects for Pemex are increasing, and IPAB and I think FARAC are reducing if public sector, let's say, are reducing the public sector borrowing requirement. So I think those are the main highlights from the composition of the public sector borrowing requirement. Thank you.
Thank you.
And once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone. And we have no further questions at this time.
Okay, thank you very much. And I remind you that we are available for questions either at our offices or through our webpage of the Investor Relations Office or the Public Credit Union. Thank you.
This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.